in Kentucky is not who he claimed to be.
It's devastating. It's like reliving that day.
Boeing confirms a faulty sensor played a role in the Ethiopian Airlines crash.
It's our responsibility to eliminate this risk.
The attorney general defends his special counsel summary.
Ohio Congressman Tim Ryan, an economic centrist from the heartland, telling the co-hosts on The View he's running.
Measles outbreak sweeping parts of this country. A major medical center in California is warning hundreds of people they may have been exposed to the disease.
The president backed off his threat to immediately close the southern border to stop migrants and drugs from entering the U.S.
Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos and now ex-wife Mackenzie announcing they have finalized their divorce,
making Mackenzie the fourth richest woman in the world.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Welcome back, everyone. News on 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Friday, TGIF edition. Let's bring in Mike Holmes, our legislative roundtable participant today. Mike, welcome aboard the Dan Morris Show.
Thank you, Dan. It's proud to be here.
How has it been for this week?
It's been a rough week for Mike Holmes.
It has? Why?
It really has. Just really tough committee meetings, wound up with what I thought was a fairly simple bill, wound up in a big controversy across the aisles, and got...
What was the simple bill?
It had to do with simplifying our registration process and saving us about $980,000 every 4 years with using a database that's available to us now it's got some software that goes along with it, can really track where people are better than we ever have, and it's been tested between states and across the country, and the testing that our Secretary of State has done is really positive.
Who is recommending it? John Merrill?
John Merrill and I drafted. I had a bill that was very similar to his, and he picked it up and wanted to meet with me, and he wanted to combine one that he brought last year that did a lot of the same things, but mine added some to it, so we combined the two. So yeah, the Secretary of State's office was on board with it. In fact, they wound up writing the final draft.
We just got word that a former deputy district attorney and candidate for the 2018 Republican nomination for state auditor was taken into custody on multiple charges this week. Computer tampering. He was trying to look at Ziegler's information on the computer.
So. Yeah, I heard that earlier today. Yeah, it sounds pretty serious. He's been arrested already, so they must have some evidence.
Yep, he turned himself into Montgomery County Police Sheriff's Office on Wednesday and is out on bond now for today. So there we go. Good old Alabama politics. Let's talk about some different pieces of legislation. Let's talk about the ethics exemptions for people that are...
Developers.
Yeah, developers and such.
The bill was a lot more simple this year. We had a big controversy and passed a bill. No, we didn't pass it. But we looked at a bill last year. We did pass it. Let's see, and put a 1-year sunset.
Yeah,
that was a compromise. There were so many of us that wouldn't get on board because if it didn't work, we wanted to be on a way out. And so we got a sunset on there. That sunset was early this week, I think the first or second of April. So this bill simply, now that they had proven themselves that it was what they told us it was, and I think in fact the vote was overwhelming. It was like 94-5 or something like that. So I think everybody was confident.
Do you think that resolves our ethics bill problem?
Well, no, I don't think we've had a problem there with the developers. I think it's the...
Not with the developers, but with business owners.
But they're, yeah. I think it does. As far as what this bill does, it makes it legal for developers to do what developers do. They go into secure property, scout sites, all those kind of things. And I think it's going to be okay. It's got sources. It's got to go through the Senate still. So, but I voted for it. I fought it last year because I had so many uncertainties. And when they put the sunset in there, I finally got on board last year.
We have two lottery bills that are coming in. One that has video lottery gaming, and one that doesn't. Do you side on either side of that?
Well, my main concern with the second one that has just been introduced, and I'll have to be honest, I've not even read it. I've read the summary, that's all. And the summary essentially says to me, the way I read it, is that it pretty much eliminates the private enterprise side of our gambling that's already here. Green Track, Jefferson County, Victoryland, Macon County.
Well, it legitimizes it. It's going to make that machine legal.
Well, but it's my understanding and my reading of that second bill is there's no place for those tracks. And they will be against the law once and for all now is the way I read that.
You're talking about on the paper bill, the paper-only bill. There are two bills. There's one that has video, and there's one that's paper-only.
Well, we passed a paper bill this week, but it had nothing to do with any of this, or the lottery, or anything like that. I'm not sure. You and I are getting tangled up with three bills. I think that one was a paper already exists in one of the counties. I've even forgotten which one it was, and we passed that one this week. But the President Pro Tem's bill came in middle of the week. Del Marsh's bill came in, and he specifically iterated that it would be lottery only.
Did it have video component to it or not?
It did not.
It did not.
I understand
okay.
It did not, and essentially that cut out the private side. Is what I was talking about. There's no.
It
place
takes green track out. It takes shorter.
In fact,
out.
It's. I think in the wording specifically names them that they would. You know what you've had this locals versus the state and feds all this time on Macon County is a great example. The sheriff over there will not recognize the attorney general's orders to close down over there because they have their own mandate. They had their referendum election, and they're continuing to operate based on that. It seems like in the second bill attempt was to be to go ahead and shut them down. I have a problem with that because I believe in private enterprise. If we're going to have legal gambling with the Porch Creeks with a monopoly, literally, then it just doesn't seem fair to cut out private enterprise on some basis.
Has anybody made a telephone call to the Department of Interior, Bureau of Indian Affairs to ask, if we do this, what effect would that have on the Indians and Porch Creek and gambling?
Several have, and the word I'm getting back is that it will have no impact on them, one way or the other. It does not open up the door for Class 3 gambling, which is what seems to be a big concern of a lot of
people.
Who
is telling you that?
Just various associates, colleagues on the floor. They want to talk about it a lot because they're getting a lot of calls and a lot of contacts on it, and they want to talk about it.
I sure would like to see a letter from the head of Bureau of Indian Affairs that says that.
I'm not sure you'd get them to say that, but it'd be worth a try.
Because I'm worried that somebody's saying something that's not, they haven't really made the telephone call.
Yeah. One thing I do like about both is the forms that are out there now, I think they both require a referendum. I don't think I'm going to be able to get on board any bill that is going to get passed that that doesn't have a referendum for the people to vote on this question.
What are some other things that are coming down the pike that scare you?
Let's see.
You being the fiscal hawk you are.
One of the things that happened back in a big controversy a few weeks back was on the gas tax hike. There were some verbal promises to consider Medicaid expansion again, and the governor pledged that to bring the Democratic caucus on board to vote for the gas tax. So there's that hanging out there. And that's to me is, you know, it's proven, and I think it's pretty much accepted now that the feds would do what they say they will do for 3 years, and then whatever increases you've got, which in our case it looks like it's probably $250 million or better, that then we would be stuck with paying ourselves. We'll have to come up with the revenue to be able to support that expansion. And I just think that's fiscally irresponsible.
I noticed something that passed on Fox just a second ago, talking about Alabama's governor is looking at new means of revenue for a new prison system. And that was the Chiron on there. What have you heard about what she's looking at?
I've not heard that. I know there's some more impetus put into the fact that we have to do something about our prison problems. They've been redefined by another court now. We got the settlement that was handed down almost 2 years ago now on the mental health side. Now we've got a lot of other issues, dozens and dozens of counts of poor treatment of the prisoners here. And I think we have to address those, no question. We do not want the feds to come in and take those prisons over. We've seen how that works in places like California where it's been done before. So, yeah, I think that is a challenge. I continue to be convinced that I hear a lot of talk about we're going to fix all these problems by building two or three shiny new supercell prisons and spend $2 or $3 billion to do that. First of all, I'm not sure where that money's coming from. There's all kind of talk about private side investment, private capital, building those and leasing them back to the state. Whoever does it, I'm not convinced, and it's going to take some real convincing.
Make sure the audience isn't getting confused. We're not talking about the private prison system run by private company. We're talking about a private company building the the prison and then leasing it back to
the,
us.
The capital investment, buildings and equipment and real estate, the ground. That's what we're talking about being leased back.
Where are you on doing a lease back?
I'm concerned about the open interest. It's troubling that our state can't enter in. Well, it's not troubling that we can't enter, but we under current law, we can't enter into long-term leases. And I can't imagine any kind of sage counsel for any capital formation group that can agree to come up with that kind of money without some way to know that they're going to be able to lease it in the second and the third and the fourth and fifth year on down the road. And I think when they do that trade-off, there's going to be some inflation adjustments in there that are going to be open-ended for the lessor. And that's troubling to me. I mean, that could bankrupt the state. They could run those leases up so high and we have no choice.
Has anybody, are they still not talking geographically where these supercells will be?
All kinds of talk. Yeah, you hear everything from Montgomery County to Elmore County to Escambia County. On several of sites we already have, there's land, apparently buildable land. The disturbing thing I'm hearing in Elmore County, Montgomery County, where we have existing land in significant amounts, like in Elmore County, our Draper complex over there alone has something like 3,600 acres of owned land over there. Some of it is kind of out of play. If you've ever been over there, you know there's a huge strip mining operation right in the middle of it. But the reality is that's 400 or 500 acres out of 3,600. You know, the footprint of one, even one of these supercells is less than 500 acres. Yeah, it would be a full campus. So, I mean, we got five times as much land as we need over there. Why are we going to go out and buy more land?
Also, you have land that has a sewage system that's already connected to it.
Infrastructure's already in place. That's what I'm... It's just so many reasons not to do this. So what's driving this need to go out and buy more land to build one of these supercells on? Something's fishy there to me.
Fishy in state government? Come on, Mike.
Fishy, yes.
Let's go to Bo. Bo has a question for Mike Holmes. Bo, you're on with Representative Mike Holmes.
Dan, I sure appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
Mr. Holmes, it's good to talk to you. I voted for you. I'll continue to vote for you if you continue to run. And I just want to thank you for voting no on the gas tax.
I appreciate you saying that. We took a pretty good beating in the arm twisting leading up to that vote. But I read my constituents like you, I think, pretty well. Actually, the polling I did the week before that vote showed me that it was stronger no's in my district in Elmore County than I figured. It looked like the straw polling that I'd done earlier, instead of the formal poll I wound up doing, was running about 50-50 for or against. My actual poll came back 62%. Against, only 27% for, and then the rest were in between, which told me what I was believing all along, that this thing was being pushed so fast and so hard, there was a lot of the voters that were polled that didn't know where they, a lot of them didn't even know what we were talking about in the poll, because the education had not been done with our voters to tell them what was happening, how it was going to work, any of that. So it really reconfirmed my vote when I saw that I needed to vote no.
Yes, sir. And Wetumpka is a Tea Party bastion. I mean, we've got a stronghold up there of Tea Party people that is, you know, taxed enough already.
Yep.
And you know, it saddens me so to see that is the best we can do as a governor sitting up there now. Do you see any conservative firebrands up and coming that would make a good run for the governorship, sir?
I can think of several. As soon as I start naming names, I'm going to leave somebody out, I'm sure. But they're probably the most experienced that would probably be lined up in the normal ascension place would be John Merrill, our current Secretary of State. A good friend of mine, a staunch conservative. He and I met in the House when I was first elected, and we only served together at the end of that one term. But we got to be fast friends because we realized very quickly that we agreed on over 80% of the issues. And so I think he would certainly be in that mix. I'll tell you another up-and-coming star that's risen very fast, and he's proven out now, I think, in his first few months or time in the lieutenant governor's role. It'd be Will Ainsworth is another one, very young guy. Very conservative. I think we have some shining stars coming up, so I think we're going to have a good feel when that happens.
We really need it. I mean, we're really hurting for some good leadership in Alabama. You know, we've really not had any stellar leadership up there in a while now, really.
Well, yeah, our former governor had to resign and under pressure. So, yeah, it is. And the recent past is not
indicative of the future.
Pardon me?
That's not indicative of the future. Bo, how would you rate Kay Ivey?
Talking about me?
Yes.
Oh, on a 1 to 10 scale?
Yes.
She's not even on a scale.
She's not even on the scale.
That's how I would rate her. But yes, sir. Yeah, yes, sir. We're looking for conservative. Who are the ones up there that tend to go with Trump's policies? Do you know, Mr. Holmes?
Well, Ainsworth was a delegate, like I was, for another candidate at presidential convention, the Republican National Convention, and he was with another candidate than I was. He was with Marco Rubio, and I was with Ted Cruz. But we both changed our votes on the very first ballot. The count was in. Trump was going to be the nominee. So we both got on board strongly. In fact, Will more so than me. Will spent a lot of time and money supporting Trump around the country. I'd spent some time volunteering and working in Florida, some other places for Trump. But, no, I think he is on board. I've never talked to John Merrill about it. I can't answer that. I'm guessing that some of the things I've heard him say in speeches, though, that he's pretty much on board the Trump train.
Well, I'm not wishing any ill will towards our sitting governor, but if something did happen, who would step in the place, and what kind of leadership would we have then?
Our current lieutenant governor, Will Ainsworth,
the one
we were just talking about. He ran on that, and he used it very effectively in his stump speeches that he would be one heartbeat away from the governor's office. So, and he sold the people in this state on the fact that he's ready for that. And like I said, he's awfully young, so he had some selling to do to convince the voters of that, but he did a good job of it.
Well, all you prayer warriors out there, we want y'all to start praying that we get some good leadership in the governor's office in Alabama. I'm praying for the sitting one that maybe she'd have a epiphany moment and, see the light, so to speak. God bless y'all. Y'all have a wonderful weekend, guys.
Thanks, Bo. Appreciate it. Yeah, something happens in Alabama. Once you get elected again, all of a sudden, everything changes. I mean, it's just amazing all the bills that I'm seeing Kay Ivey get behind here without any. I mean, it's exactly what Bentley did, the prison thing. All of a sudden, he gets reelected, and boom, we're talking $4 billion prison with no locations, no design.
It is remarkable. I saw both those changes with my own two eyes, sitting in the old House chamber listening to those speeches, those State of the State speeches, and it was amazing the change that they both of those people did during that very talk. They changed direction. Went from no new taxes to
let's do taxes. New Tone 93.1, Dan Mar Show. We're going to be back with Mike Holmes right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
Turn on. Tune in.
News Talk 93.1 FM. From a run around sewer, yeah. Hey. My miss lips and a smile on her face. The touch of her hand and this girl's one embrace. So if you don't want to cry like I do, I keep away from a run around sewer. Want to carry News Talk in your pocket? Download the News Talk 93.1 app from the App Store. Available on iPhone and Android. Never miss a moment. Download now.
Many people here in the Montgomery area are looking for a new dentist. Some of you may have just moved into the area, or your dentist may be about to retire, or maybe it's just too hard to get an appointment with your dentist. The Dan Morris Show has a personal recommendation just for you. Dr. Dan Hudson of Bill Road Family Dentistry. He is a sole practitioner dentist with a heart for his patients. Maybe you need a checkup, or you may need to have crowns or cosmetic dentistry. Dr. Dan Hudson can handle your case. He is a complete dentist who has the latest and most up-to-date dental equipment. He can do crowns in just one appointment, saving you time and money. But the real secret of Dr. Dan Hudson's success is his staff. You'll love the staff of Bell Road Family Dentistry. You aren't just a patient number, but a part of the family of the Bell Road Family Dentistry practice. You'll love this former member of the Special Forces who is dedicated to your dental health. Call 395-6695 to set up a consultative appointment. Dr. Dan Hudson, Bell Road Family Dentistry, 395-6695. He will make your smile.
We know that local business drives the local economy. Without local business, there is no Montgomery. As a locally owned business, we at Blue Water work hard every day to support local business.
This is Frank Bertarelli. We'd like to take time out to thank Blue Water Broadcasting for their years of help in growing our business. Over 25 years with Zap Pest Control and still growing thanks to Blue Water Broadcasting.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
Almost everyone has a pet or multiple pets. Think about it. Now think about this. Since we love our pets so much, we all need a pet doctor, don't we? They get sick, they need grooming, sometimes they even may need surgery. Ever come home from work and that sweet pet looks like they just ate a sock? Or that they look like they're limping or they're scratching more than usual? What if they have a toothache? You've got to have a vet you trust so completely that you'll trust them with your pet. What if you want to get a chip implanted because they have this habit of getting out of the back gate? Montgomery Veterinary Associates is where you need to take your pet. Dan's been using Montgomery Veterinary Associates for decades, so talk about someone you can trust. The next time you have something happen to your pet or you just need a regular checkup, and take your furry friend to MVA. Their number is 271-1003, 271-1003. Montgomery Veterinary Associates will help you take great care of that furry four-legged member of your family.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. By the way, Charlotte Meadows is going to be seeking Dimitri Peluso's District 74 seat. Let's go to the phones and go to Robert. Robert has a question for Mike Holmes. Robert, you're on with Mike Holmes.
Yes, Mr. Holmes.
Yes, sir.
My question is, I'm not a staunch Republican. I am a voter Republican, but I'm a staunch Democrat. But my question is, with the wisdom and the knowledge you have in the government, why you couldn't convince the rest of your legislative party within your party to vote the way you voted on the gas tax? Because everything you're saying is spot on, even with the prison system, sir. I'm sitting there listening to you talk about we shouldn't get into no lease agreement. We should use our own property. We should do our own remodeling. And why can't the rest see what you see? What's the vision down there? If they're following party lines or they're following the heart?
I tell you what, we have some very strong leadership right now, and we're listening to some people outside, private interests that are pushing for specific projects, the ones we're talking about, and they're pretty powerful. And it takes some real stamina and courage to buck that trend. I've chosen to do that. I don't have anything to lose, so I'm going to do what's right instead of what's expedient.
What I would say is keep doing what you're doing. And I guarantee you, people will keep you in office. Just keep doing what you're doing. Don't worry about party line. Do what the people want you to do, because the people are the ones voting for you.
That's true. You're absolutely right.
All right. Thank you.
I appreciate your call.
You said something very interesting. You said we have real strong leadership right now. Describe the leadership now compared during Hubbard's days.
It's just it's a different brand. Hubbard was just authoritarian. He made all the decisions within his own office. There was no sharing of power. And current leadership is the other way around. Power is very diffuse right now with committee chairs and so forth, and they're given a lot more leeway than they had under Hubbard. And that could be a good thing, it could be a bad thing. We've got some issues in those committee chairs now that we're having problems because of them paddling their own canoe, and it's not in concert with what the body wants to do.
Because what I've learned is that if you have the chairs have a lot of power, then the special interests can have a lot of influence over those chairs, and that starts driving bills.
You said it, not me.
Get it on out there, huh? So do you feel a difference of that outside influence on the House itself? From Alpha and from BCA?
And I'm reading it just like a voter, though. I don't have any direct evidence of any of that, but you just kind of read the tea leaves of who's working these various, what I call extreme bills in the hallways, then you kind of start to get an idea of who they're listening to, who these chairs are listening to.
Tell me where we are on budget and fiscal issues.
Budget, I brought it with me, and I'll give me a glass so I can read. The House Ways and Means Committee passed out on Friday. It'll be headed to the full House next week. A $2.1 billion spending plan for non-education state agencies, the general fund, that varies very little from the original request of Governor Kay Ivey and Cabinet Department heads. So what I understand, and I got a copy that I haven't had a chance to read yet, but they what they put together for us on Friday when we got the word that this had passed out of committee was that differences in the governor's proposed budget and what they finally passed out of that committee were small enough in number that they were able to get it on one side of a legal sheet with a work spreadsheet showing here's what she proposed, here's what was approved by this committee, so on down the list. So it's not a lot of differences if you can put them on one 8x14 sheet.
Wow.
So it seemed like probably.
So what we would call in the bookkeeping business the variance. The
variance. That's a good point. The variance page is exactly what that is. But it's been easier this year, but don't get used to it. You remember one of the things that's pushing is we got Medicaid actually requested less money than they did last year. When's the last time?
What happened there?
When's the last time that ever happened?
Really?
I don't even remember when the last time it happened.
I mean, the O-way would. Oh, how far are we going up? We're going up $75 million or $80 million.
Exactly. Usually it was more figures, but more than 100 more million. But this time they actually had some programs that they instituted that saved a lot of drug purchases for Medicaid, and so they had that windfall this year. It won't be there next year, so that's already done. So we'll be right back next year, probably fighting the same, like we said, somewhere between $75 million and up. Shortfall that they're going to be asking for more money. And that's without the idea of expanding Medicaid the way they're pushing us. You know, that was part of the deal to get the gas tax passed, was to agree to have a look. The governor agreed to have a look at expanding Medicaid, which she's never really done since she's been in office, to have a serious look at.
Well, having a look and having a vote are two different things.
Well, and I think you and I know that. The Democrats bought into it, though, and they voted for her gas tax because of
Bobby Singleton voted in it? Voted into that?
I don't know. I didn't look at his vote, but they voted enough to make it easy to pass. I think three or four Democrats voted no on that gas tax, and the rest voted with her.
Interesting. Let me do this. Let me go to a break. 272-9228. If you have a question, comment, or viewpoint for Representative Mike Holmes, he's on board and in the House. We're going to be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show. Get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes, three men and a lady. Mornings, 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Are you tired of waiting on that credit union or bank to call you back? I'll tell you why. Those credit unions and banks are busy doing things other than mortgages. I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage, where we do mortgages. That's all we do, so we do it better. We are brokers, not bankers. What does that mean? Simply put, it means more money in your pocket. We have exclusive access to the very best rates and programs offered. Let us shop for you. Come on, y'all. If you were having chest pains, you wouldn't call a foot doctor. You would call a heart specialist, right? You should treat your mortgage with the very same standard of care. Whether you're looking to purchase or refinance your home, don't waste another minute. Call the mortgage specialist at Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. Call my team today at 567-4223 or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to see the Alabama Home Mortgage difference. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
News, I'm Rich Dennison. Former Vice President Joe Biden says he wasn't trying to joke about consensual touching during a speech to electrical workers in Washington, D.C.
It wasn't my intent to make light of anyone's discomfort.
In his opening remarks, Biden said someone in the crowd gave him permission to give them a hug, which brought laughs to attendees. As for a possible 2020 run, Biden said he would want to be the last candidate to announce. President Trump's heading for the border. Before leaving for Calexico, California, he boasted about the latest jobs numbers.
Our country's doing unbelievably well economically. Most of you don't report that.
196,000 jobs were created in March. The FBI says an Ohio man who falsely claimed to be a missing boy has made similar claims. Federal court documents say 23-year-old Brian Rennie has previously falsely portrayed himself as a juvenile sex trafficking victim. This is Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather is brought to you by Blue Haven Pools. Building and designing an amazing new smart pool is just a click away. Learn more about smart pools that are virtually chemical-free by visiting bluehaven.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. We're going to continue to be in a rather active weather pattern for at least the next 3 or 4 days. For tonight, risk of some scattered showers and thunderstorms around. The overnight low temperature drops to about 63. For tomorrow and Sunday, there'll be scattered showers and thunderstorms around both days. It's not going to rain all the time, but every once in a while, you'll run into a shower. The high temperature on Saturday, 81, and then I think we'll be in the maybe mid-80s by the time Sunday gets here. Could be some stronger storms, I think, by late Sunday into Sunday evening. We'll be watching that carefully. You can stay on top of all these weather developments with our weather app. Get it on your phone or tablet now. Go to the App Store, search Rich Thomas Weather. Instant notifications for watches and warnings. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Interested in making some spring renovations? Check out a home equity line of credit from ASE Credit Union. ASE Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASE. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender. ASE Credit Union, 9 locations, or online at yourasecu.com.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV. The Dan Morris Show.
Two seven two nine two two eight. That's where we are. Mike Holmes in the house. Let's just let your round table. Were there any new bills that are thrown in the basket this week that we should be scared of? Particularly if you're close to getting the budget.
There's a lot of them. There were a lot of them got dropped for the first time. There's one we should be really excited about. Before I do that, can I mention one other thing that ties into what we were talking about when we took that last break? There's an overall pay increase, too, about 2% for state employees, where they haven't had a raise in, 9 years now, I guess, since the recession started pretty much in full. And the bill originally was sponsored by guess who? Dimitri Palitsos. So we had a resolution passed on Thursday to name that bill the Dimitri Palitsos bill, which I thought would interest your local listeners a lot. He's a very popular guy.
Very.
That was another one of the increases in the budget that we were talking about. Now, let's go back to what we were talking about. One that we should be really proud of, in my opinion. Representative Terry Collins, who is chair of the Education Policy House Committee, and Rich Wingo, who's not a chair of anything except he's just very well thought of in that body there. He's a wise, very smart financial guy. He's been very successful in the development world, not just in the state of Alabama, but throughout the nation. He's been successful everywhere they've been with big projects. came up, and he is a very moral, religious guy, too, and abortion has been one of the big things that he came there to try to make a difference on.
Right.
He convinced Terry that she was getting ready to drop again a heartbeat bill like Georgia just passed last week.
Right.
Rich convinced her we don't need to do that. We need to go straight at Roe v. Wade with a pregnancy. As soon as you can define pregnancy that there is a viable life there, then that's the cutoff point for abortion in Alabama under this proposed bill. So they will have a big rollout next week with a press conference and all that, but they're getting already the word is out, and so they're getting press calls from all over the country. Are you trying to take the first spot to get this one before the Supreme Court? And the answer is yes. That's exactly what they're trying to do. That's depends on where you're coming from. That could be very, very smart and get us a lot of good positive publicity for Alabama, or it could be very risky. We know everybody's going to sue us. Everybody can put together two lawyers are going to sue on that law as soon as that bill gets passed. But I think there's a strong possibility of getting out of both houses pretty much intact the way it is. There seems to be a lot of agreement with this draft up in the Senate as well.
Well, the latest thing that's happening is you have companies that are pulling out or saying they're not going to do business with states that are doing these type of bills now. And with our commitment with Amazon and some other folks, I would hate to see that somebody might pull that trick. Because in Georgia, the film industry basically said, which is a big piece of business. I have a client over there.
It's big in Georgia, for sure.
In Atlanta, that's big stuff.
It's bigger than we think about sometimes in Alabama, too. I mean, it's pretty significant numbers they're talking about here, but nothing like Georgia. You're right. I think that is a consideration.
I don't think we should ever run scared, but I think somebody needs to look at the...
And I didn't say scared either. I think caution is a better word. Be careful what you wish for, because you may get more lawsuits and different negative publicity than you want out of this. But that's one I think that we can take the lead on, and I'm proud to be a co-sponsor of that one.
Is there anything going on boards and commissions that we need to know about?
We had a fairly... The first session is always reserved for sunset bills. We try to do away with as many committees as we can. We all on that committee know we've got too many boards, agents, commissions in the 500 and something number, and we keep whittling it down every year. I think this year we got rid of another 18 or 20 or something like that. And so we worked through those the first week or so. Last week was pretty routine stuff. It mostly was housekeeping issues with... what happens when you have a board that's relatively new? And not always, but you generally have an adjustment period, and they find some things that were wrong with the original legislation that authorized them. And they come back with housekeeping, and that's mostly what we did in the meeting this last week.
Back during my time in government, the philosophy was as well, you don't have legislators don't know what to do in a particular field like cosmetology. So you have to get a cosmetologist to tell the legislators what they need to do and be an oversight board. But then it became kind of power plays that are there. And I'm just don't buy into the need for all these boards that are doing oversight and putting some really strong standards on people to get licenses because they don't want any more competition.
Well, and a lot of those shouldn't be licensed at all. I mean, the industries, and for a lot of those industries, will police themselves. I mean, it's just private enterprise at work. And they will police themselves. If they're not police and not ethical and not all those things, then and not professional, they will weed themselves out.
So, let's go back to Aaliyah being put back together. How strong of a possibility is that?
Let me start off by, I think, as I said earlier, it's interesting. I've had a big push ever since I was elected 5 years ago in that special election. I've had a push from the retiring and retired state troopers, the old Highway Patrol of Alabama, that this was a big mistake and time would tell. And so far, they've been right.
And believe me,
when they heard about this bill being dropped last week, my phone was alive again and my emails were alive again. We told you so. Now will you help us? And I was trying to help them all that time, you know, doing anything I could to see if we could fix Aaliyah. And it's been just almost an impossible task to fix it. It's such a conglomerate of focuses and directions that it's probably should have never been broken up. But
absolutely. And when it was happening, I was hearing the same thing. I had people that were down on the third tier of stuff and former department heads that were about to get moved. And I was always worried that, well, you're mad at this bill because they're going to move you.
Right.
And you don't have your fiefdom that was there. But they were saying, no, it really isn't that. It's that we know what we're doing in this department and somebody else doesn't.
This is each one of these parts that they're trying to meld together are pretty individualized and pretty specific. I mean, it's hard to cross-train and utilize the people like they thought would happen or just hadn't happened. So, yeah, instead of creating a more efficient bureaucracy, we've created one that's less efficient, it appears.
But you said there is more money going into Aaliyah.
Yep, specifically for hiring these other, what you and I just figured, I think was around 90 to 100 new troopers for the roads. We have probably the lowest number of troopers on the road. And if you're driving anywhere across the state of Alabama, you know this. You can see it. They're just not there.
Up to the point that you see the blue light, then
it's too late. Yes.
Because I noticed when I was going over to Atlanta 3 weeks ago, I did see a lot of state troopers over there.
On the Alabama side?
On the Alabama side.
What I noticed when we were going over to visit our grandchildren is that when you cross that state line.
Oh, yeah, you definitely see them.
Georgia is alive with them, so you have to slow down when you hit that state line for sure.
But people in Georgia drive like crazy. I mean, I was sitting there, I was, I was doing 80 and somebody was passing me like I was standing still. They must have been doing 100.
And over there, as you know, too, particularly on weekends, Fridays and Sunday nights, it's wall-to-wall, bumper-to-bumper, eight lanes wide at least, and some places, you know, in the S-curve down there.
Are you still helping your family member out over there?
No.
He's
back and running, doing great. The business is growing again. Everything's going great. Appreciate you asking.
How about on tax revenues? Are we seeing a pop-up in tax revenues?
We budgeted a slight increase based on last year's performance and a pound of caution. I'm pleased with the projection they put ahead. They're nothing like the increase we had last year. A significant increase we experienced the last 2 years. The first one, we weren't expecting at all. And I think what happened there was the online sales taxes that exceeded what we thought they would in that first year, and then they exceeded again this last year. So that was driving a lot of that.
Let's go to the phones and go to Linda. Linda, you're on board the Dan Moore Show with Mike Holmes.
Mike.
Yes, ma'am.
When you're talking about the state employees possibly getting a raise, would this also include the retired state employees?
No, ma'am. It's active employees only, as I understand it.
Okay.
All retired employees in the state of Alabama fall under a separate, they have to have a separate piece of legislation that gives them the increase.
And they're never going to do another cost of living, I can tell you now, because the last one they did caused so much problem and loss of position in retirement systems, because with the longevity that we're having now, all that is very difficult to analyze and figure out where you're going to come out. And it always costs more money than they projected. So I don't think we'll see another proposal coming from them for a COLA for retirees. It's like the contract I have for my retirement. I agreed to it 25 years ago, and I'm still getting the same dollar today that I got 25 years ago when that contract started.
Yeah, me too.
And yeah, I know, and it doesn't seem fair because it'll buy a whole lot less than it would 25 years ago. But that's just the way, and that's the way of a defined benefit program. My main part of my retirement comes from the other thing, the defined contribution side. That one is doing fine. We've kept up with inflation or ahead of inflation there. I would like to see Alabama reconsider that again. Let's make another attempt to turn ours away from defined benefits to defined contributions so that we can keep up with inflation.
I'm all with you, Dan. Well, thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. Thank
Thanks,
you.
Linda. Appreciate it. Gary Coliseum, are you plugged in on what they're trying to do in Gary Coliseum?
No, I'm not.
The city and the county are trying to get the state to earmark some money over there so they can redo Gary Coliseum and update it. And they see it as a tourist economic impact to the region.
What kind of money? Did you say private money? Or?
No, to get more money for Gary Coliseum to update
more,
it.
More tax money.
Right. In other words, to get a 60% of it from the state, 20% of it from the city, 20% of it from the county, to try to update it at a tune of about, I think the mayor was saying, somewhere in the neighborhood of about $150,000.
Thousand or million?
Thousand, which seems to be small.
It does. It seems way too small to me to do that kind of project. I'd be interested in seeing what they're going to do for $150,000 on a structure of that type.
Probably paint some poles or something.
I'm not sure. Yeah. We get so used to talking in millions and billions that $150,000 is just a problem.
It doesn't sound real.
Yeah, it doesn't sound real.
I'll just say that place does need some work.
Oh, yeah.
It really does. I was there for a house show a few weeks ago, and it did its job, but it needs work.
I'm going to tell you how old I am now, but I was a small kid, probably 5 or 6 years old, when that thing was finished, and it was the engineering marvel of my life.
Really,
at that point.
Largest,
I've never seen anything like that.
Largest indoor facility without indoor columns and their open space.
It was amazing, and we all just kind of take it for granted as just another eyesore here almost now. Even though it does get some use, but it's not anything like it could if it was probably updated. But I don't know where the money would come from for that, to do it right.
You'll probably be getting a telephone call from the mayor.
I wouldn't be surprised, Todd, and our friends, so I wouldn't be surprised.
What are the things that are out there that we need to be worried about?
I'm always worried about just being on fiscal guard. A lot of the bills that come through there, my first reading through is to be on the lookout for big mistakes fiscally, something that's never going to, there's not going to generate any kind of savings or any kind of new revenue that's going to be able to pay its way. That's the first thing I look for. And then the last thing I look for is unintended consequences. I'll go back through on my third or fourth swipe through that bill and highlight all the things that this could be an unintended consequence. It may look small now, but it might be, over time, it may be $200 million if we let this prevail.
Well, I'm worried that if the Ways and Means has already released the budget's going to the floor, that thing passes out pretty quickly, then the need for the BRI is not going to be there. And so things, in other words, if the budget's already passed.
It's passed out of the committee.
Out of the committee, but yeah. It's going to the floor.
It's going to the full floor. It'll be on the special order calendar next week.
How many legislative days y'all have left?
We've only used 7.
So wow.
Remember, we had the special...
That's dangerous.
Yeah.
That's very dangerous.
Don't be surprised if we sign and die early and have some days still on the table. Because, it's we've been there a long time already, and we just into our 7th day.
Interesting. So there's a teacher's pay raise also?
There is. I don't have that one in front of me here. All I had was general fund, but there is, and it's selective. It's not across the board like it was in the last budget. I think it's more targeted in the education side. Now that I'm thinking about it, I think it's more targeted at adding teachers in specific areas, more of the STEM areas, science, technology, and engineering, mathematics. Teachers, they're finding it very difficult to fill those spots, by the way. And everybody on this air probably already knows that, but it's a fact of life. I was talking to our superintendent this morning, and it's just getting a bigger and bigger challenge to find the STEM teachers, the qualified teachers.
Trying to get another celebrity guest like you in here on Wednesday. Wow. I was kind of hearing some echo talking about trying to unify the budgets. Is there a discussion on the floor about that?
Not from me. I bloodied my nose on that one for the first 2 years I was there, and I gave up beating my head.
There's just so much head beating you can do, right?
Yeah, it's not going to happen in my lifetime. It's just so much resistance. And it ties into part of our overall problems is virtually everything in the general fund budget is earmarked. And then the education budget's not far behind. They're, well over 80% is all earmarked.
272-9228, coming to the last segment of the Dan Moore Show with Mike Holmes. You got a question coming, a viewpoint? Well, you better call. We're going to be right back.
Time, the Joey Clark Radio Hour, Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Well, I'm here with Miss Dot at the Eastbrook Flea Market and Antique Mall. Well, Dot, spring is here.
We're heading into spring, and I'm so glad. We've got some furniture coming in, some spring and summer furniture. It's not coming in too fast, but it's beginning to trickle in. We're just busy is all I can say, and I'm thankful for that.
It looks to me like you have a lot of items for outside.
We do. We've got the wrought iron furniture, patio things, and booth 70 in the window had a swing, and it was just beautiful. I expect he'll have another one, too.
There are a lot of treasures in Eastbrook Flea Market and Antique Mall to be found.
Yes. If you don't see it here, you didn't need it anyway.
All right. Give us those hours of operation.
Monday through Friday is 10 until 6, Saturday 9 until 6, and Sunday 12:30 to 4:30.
That's the Eastbrook Flea Market and Antique Mall, 425 Coliseum Boulevard.
Intellectually honest, philosophically consistent radio. News and views from 9 till noon. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
272-9228, that's where we are. Yeah, a question, comment, or viewpoint, well, you better call. 84 did. 84 has a question. 84, you're on with Representative Mike Holmes.
Hey, Mike, you doing okay today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing perfect, doing perfect. There's a bill in the Senate, been introduced in the Senate, SB 23. I believe Chris Elliott has introduced it. And are you familiar with that bill?
I'm not by number. If you mention the subject, I might pick it up.
Okay. The subject matter is it's designed to prohibit municipalities from going beyond the actual limits of their municipality. You can't go into the PJ and enforce laws that apply to the actual city itself.
What's Montgomery going to do?
Would you be in favor of that bill if it gets to the House? Would you co-sponsor that? Is that something that you would support?
Before I committed myself, I have to do a lot more reading. I've not even heard about it at this point, so... we've had some proposals to change up the annexation procedures. There's several cities that would like for us to do something that would make it a little easier, it doesn't have to be contiguous. You could actually jump over some spaces. I'm concerned about doing those kind of things. I think it's worked pretty well for a lot of years by keeping everything contiguous with the expansion. So, but I have not heard about this SB 23, so I'll need to go home this afternoon and look it up and see what it says.
Yes, sir, and I don't think, and my understanding may be wrong on it, this is not, it really, it doesn't have as much to do with annexation as it does to, I mean, you realize right now the city of Montgomery can go 3.5 miles beyond their city limits and enforce city ordinances
and on code,
people
and building
that have
code.
They have absolutely no representation to do with the city. And, do you think that's right?
No, I don't. In fact, we redid ours in Wetumpka's and pulled them back in. They tried that three-minute, apparently maybe the same time Montgomery started it, but they found...
No, sir. Montgomery's been doing this my entire life.
Okay, well, whenever, but Wetumpka had expanded theirs. We've been here 21 years in Elmore County, and they'd expanded it sometime in the last 10 years, and very quickly they realized they didn't have the manpower to handle that. The sheriff's office is equipped to do it. They're used to doing it, and it's working very well in Elmore County. With a mile and a half is what we have there.
84, let me ask you a question. Are you worried about that as far as building codes?
Well, it's just, to me, Dan, it's just frustrating, and it comes down to the moral of that. You know, I have lots of customers in the Hopewell area, even almost all the way down to Pentlala. And when the city of Montgomery can tell you, you know, you need a breaker put in your electrical box, and then the city of Montgomery says, nope, you got to get an inspection on that, and we want you to bring, you know, all these things up to code on your house. So you go from a $100 repair to a $1,000 repair in order to keep your power on. And then when the customer says, who do I complain to, I tell them, nobody, because you don't have anybody, sitting down there at the city to represent you. I mean, what are you going to do? You can call you can call the mayor if you want to, but you can't vote him out of office. And I think that is taxation without representation at the truest sense of it. And it drives me crazy for my customers.
Well, and do you find the same thing happening? You don't really get adequate police and fire protection for that extra...
I'll give you an example. I have somebody, they were doing a building. They made it bring up to fire code at Montgomery Standard, but Montgomery will not. If his place catches on fire, they ain't going out there.
So the answer is it's not any better. You don't get any improved services.
Yes, sir. Mr. Mike, the answer is if by inadequate you mean zero at all, then yes.
Well, that would qualify.
If you get broken into in the police jurisdiction, if you're out of the city limits and you call the city of Montgomery, they're going to tell you call the sheriff's department. If your house catches on fire, they're going to tell you call the Pentlala fire department or Rolling Hills or Raymer. That's who you call. You get absolutely no services, but you're taxed, and even the businesses within them. And this is why I don't think it's going to pass, because the businesses within the police jurisdiction, they pay half tax. to the city of Montgomery, okay, is the way it works. And then there's a backup. If the volunteers can't put the fire out, then we'll send the city down there to put the fire out.
And help you clean up the rubble, yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it doesn't sound like a great idea to me. I know it didn't work in our area around Wetumpka up there, and it's much better.
Yes,
and there's peace between the two, the county and the city there now, and everybody seems happy with their roles. And we're getting protection. We're getting excellent protections on both on city and county.
Yeah, and they do. Elmore does it a lot better than anybody, but, I mean, Prattville, they go out. And you can actually, Dan, you can enforce building codes up to 6 miles as the crow flies from the city limit.
Yeah, my friend client.
That's ridiculous.
Said it was $10,000. It was a $10,000 ticket that he had to pay.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but anyhow, I hope you'll do some.
I will keep my eyes open. I'll have a look at what it says. I appreciate the call.
84. Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead, Dano.
Tell me about Auburn Saturday night.
Man,
give me your prediction.
I'm so nervous right now. You know what you can't do with a toothpick. I'm so nervous right now.
Well, you and I will be texting during that game.
We will be, but I feel pretty good about the Virginia game. Michigan State scares the mess out of me, but I will.
Virginia's tough.
They are, but if we can make those cats run, if we can get them running,
there's the key right there. 84. I think you're hit dead on. As an old basketball coach, I'm going to tell you that's Auburn has one of the best defenses I've seen in a long time, if not ever. And part of that is because of their depth. They got what 10 players that get equal playing time, and so when you keep your defense fresh like that, they can hustle, and they do hustle like I've never seen.
And they are the quickest team, maybe the quickest team in the country. There
may
right
be.
Now.
Yeah. I mean, all 10 of those guys are. Yeah, all 10 of them. Even their big guys are fast. Yeah,
so,
you're right.
But if they make it, I will be somewhere in Auburn Monday night watching the game.
All right.
Well, you're welcome to my house, 84.
All right, my friend. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Y'all have a good weekend.
You too.
Mike, I want to thank you for being here today. Nothing else I need to be suspicious of or concerned about?
Well, it probably is that I'll think of when I walk out the door, but right now
you text me and let me know.
Okay, I will do that. Appreciate the time.
I appreciate
your
friendship,
as always.
And I appreciate what you do as a fiscal hawk.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
I mean, that means a lot. There are fewer of you than there have been, particularly on the Senate
side. Yes, I'm nervous about that. You're right.
That's what really worries me. I think when this budget gets to the Senate, I think we're going to learn a lot about some people. Particularly some new ones.
I think you're right.
Joey, I want to thank you for a great show.
Good show today.
Audience, I want to thank you so very much. Be good. Be safe. Be back Monday at 12 o'clock. I'm going to keep doing this until I get it right. You don't hear me say this very often, but War Eagle. See you guys Monday. Great B. Dale the Great. He's next. Adios.
From the Riverside Chevrolet Master Control Center, this is WACV Cusada, News Talk 93.1 FM. When it's Chevy, it's Riverside.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. President Trump's in Calexico, California to view an upgraded border fence.